Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, begin reading with verse 13 and read through verse 26. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 26. The Word of God says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Now, this probably took place on the same day that Jesus had been crucified and had risen again on the third day. This was probably the day that Christ rose from the grave, that he walked with these two men on the road to Emmaus. Verse 14 says, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said," that's Jesus said unto those two disciples, "then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" I'm going to be looking tonight, talking and studying about the sufferings of Christ. I think it's amazing how Jesus often asked a question, and that question would provoke deep thinking. He could have just said it was necessary for Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory. He could have said that. But he asked a question of them, "Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory?" And when he asked that question, it caused them to have to back up and think, well, should Christ have suffered and entered into his glory? Jesus, there are at least 100 different times in the Bible where Jesus asked questions. And every time he would ask a question, it would cause people to stop and think about the great truths that he was expressing, even in questions that he would ask. For example, he said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, if Jesus were to ask you that question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Isn't that going to cause you to back up and ponder and think, well, now, how much is my soul worth? Is there anything that I would trade for my soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? or he would ask a question. Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" That's a question that would cause me to back up. He could have just rebuked people, but instead of doing that, he would ask a question, and the question would make them back up and think about the depth of the statement. And this question is very similar to the fact that this morning we looked at the statement where Christ said, and this was another question in John 18:11 that we looked at this morning, where Jesus said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" You see how that makes you back up and think, well, yes, if the Father has given you this cup, if God the Father has given you this cup, then certainly you ought to drink it because it came from the Father. And so it is in this question, he says, he's asking the question, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? We tend to run from suffering, any kind of suffering. We don't like to suffer ourselves, and we don't like for those that we love to suffer. When Jesus began to teach the necessity of Christian suffering, there was rebellion against that teaching from the very beginning. And yet as long as Jesus lived, he kept repeating that truth that if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to suffer. He told them repeatedly how he was going to have to suffer. We can read in the scriptures, especially in the gospels, we read about all the different kinds of sufferings that Jesus experienced in his life. His life was full of suffering. When he began to tell his disciples about him having to suffer, they rebelled against that teaching and argued with Jesus, because they did not understand this principle. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? They do not and did not understand, much like we often do not understand, that if we're going to enter into the glory of Christ, I'm talking about in the kingdom of heaven, if we're going to enter into the glory of Christ, we have to be willing to suffer. And if we're not going to suffer, we will not experience the glory of Christ. So it's absolutely necessary that we learn this truth, that suffering precedes entering into the glory of the Lord. It's because of Christ's sufferings that we will enter into eternal glory, and it is our sufferings that enable us to enter into the glory of the Lord while we're living here in this earth. The Apostle Paul said, "I have suffered the loss. I have suffered." Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "I have suffered the loss of all things." Did he suffer? Was he willing to suffer? Did Paul really suffer? You think about all that Paul gave up when he was Saul, and all that he gave up when he began to follow Christ. Brethren, Saul of Tarsus suffered. He not only suffered losing friends and losing many that he had been very close to, he not only lost the glory that he had in the Jews' religion, but he was rejected by Jews and Gentiles. He was hated. He was despised. He was a traitor to the Jews. The Gentiles were afraid that he might be going to kill them, so they were afraid of him. And Saul of Tarsus suffered repeatedly under the hands of the people. He was beaten. He suffered all kinds of things in his life. His life was full of suffering, but he entered into the glory, and he understood you have to be willing to suffer if you're going to enter into the glory. We need to get it very clear in our minds. We need to hear the question that Jesus is asking. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? Do you want Christ? Would you have wanted Christ if you had been one of those two men walking with Jesus and he posed that question to you? Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? What would your response have been? I would have said, yes. If he has entered into his glory, then I'm thankful that he was willing to suffer if he has entered into his glory. Well, listen, brethren, Entering into glory will only come after suffering. Go with me back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Listen to how Peter, as Jesus begins to develop this great principle that sufferings precede experiencing glory. If you're going to have the glory of Christ while you live here in this world, if you're going to feel the glory and the presence and the power of God, if you're going to feel the love of God manifest in an abundant way as an obedient child of God, you have to be willing to suffer. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus lays the principle down here in Matthew 16 verse 21. And I encourage you to go home. We don't have time to go through verses 21 through 28, but this whole passage is setting forth the principle you have to be willing to suffer. You have to be willing to make sacrifices. He says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And he tells us that, well, let me begin with verse 21. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21. The scripture says, from that time forth, He began to show unto his disciples. Do you hear the wording that he began? Did he keep on teaching his disciples the same truth? He began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. He's going to talk about three things. He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And then what? And be raised again the third day. Do you hear the glory? He's going to be raised again the third day. They didn't hear anything about the glory. All they heard about was the suffering. He's going to suffer many things, and he's going to be killed. That seems to be all that they heard. And so it is that in verse 22, after they had heard Jesus begin to teach them about suffering that he was going to go through, verse 22 says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not or understandest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you're going to deny yourself, you're going to suffer. If you take up your cross, you're going to suffer. If you follow Christ, you're going to suffer. But if you're willing to suffer, what will happen? What is it that comes after the suffering? Entering into his glory. Ought not Christ, do you hear the question? Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? I would, if I had been choosing a way for Jesus to live and die, I would have said, okay, you just live an absolutely perfect life, and then I'll just take you back to glory. But it was necessary because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit declaring that Jesus would shed his blood for our sins. It was necessary for him to suffer. It was through his sufferings that we have been made perfect. It's because of his sufferings that we have been redeemed. It's without the word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus had to shed his blood. He had to die on the cross of Calvary. The blood of bulls and goats have never redeemed not one person from their sins and from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could do that. He had to suffer. He did suffer. But as quickly as I tell you he suffered, I would say, and he entered into his glory. And so it is for us that if you are willing to suffer, you will enter into his glory. And if you're not willing to suffer, you will not experience his glory in this world. Look in 1 Peter. Now, Peter was rebuked right here. Does everybody hear Peter being rebuked? Peter is being sharp. He said, Jesus said as harsh words to Peter as I think he ever said to anybody when he said to Peter, you watch the wording there now. The scripture says in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now that's harsh words. And so it made such an impression on Peter's mind, he never forgot about it. He remembered. And so it is that on the day of Pentecost, he began to be willing to suffer. And he preached and he stood that day on Pentecost. He stood and he preached the whole counsel of God. He was not ashamed and he was willing to die on the day of Pentecost. And he preached and he told those people, he told them, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And as they were carried before the Sanhedrin council and others, and they were told, you either stop speaking in the name of Jesus or you'll be beaten. And they were beaten, but he never stopped speaking in the name of Jesus. He never stopped declaring the name of Jesus. Why? Because Peter understood the principle that Jesus was speaking about here after his resurrection when he said, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? And so it is, Peter understood, if I'm going to enter into the glory of the Lord and have fellowship with God, I have to be experiencing the fellowship of his sufferings. That's an expression that Paul said he wanted to do, is to have the fellowship of his sufferings. That's the reason Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Is he saying you'll get glory? Is he saying you're going to get a big crown when you get to eternal heaven? Absolutely not. But do you get crowned with glory while you're here in this world? Yes, you'll get a crown of glory. You get a crown of blessing. You get a crown of joy when you follow the word of God and suffer for Christ's sake. Let's hear what Peter says after he has lived his life suffering. And then he writes 1 Peter. In 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he talks a lot about suffering. More than anyone else, Peter talks about suffering. Why? Because Peter had heard the words of Jesus back there in Matthew 16 when he had told him it was necessary for him to suffer and be killed. And then he finally heard, and be raised again on the third day. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to verses 19 and 20. Here's what Peter writes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now brethren, if you do wrong, if you commit sin, if you steal something, you're put in jail. That has nothing to do with the sufferings of Christ. If you do evil and you suffer for it, that is not at all what the Word of God is talking about. We're talking about suffering for well-doing. We're talking about suffering for Christ's sake. We're talking about suffering wrongfully. He says in verse 20, for what glory is it? If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God is pleased when you do what's right. Let me say to all of you young people, all of you teenagers, let me encourage you, do what's right. Live the right way. Dress the right way. I heard about a preacher recently that put on the internet that he was very happy to see all the pictures that were on Facebook of the church members down on the beach. And that he wanted all of those ladies who had been down there in their bikinis and other small dress wear. He said, please send me a very detailed picture because I've seen a lot of them. And I want to put them up on the screen for the whole church to see so that I can then speak about modest apparel. And I'll use you as an example. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, brethren, if you dress like the world, act like the world, live like the world, you have sold out. You have sold out. You want to be pleasing to the world? You've denied Christ. You deny Christ, he will deny you before the Father. If you're not willing to suffer, if you're not willing for people to laugh at you and make fun of you because you're willing to do what's right, if you're not willing to be a Christian, if you're not willing to suffer, you will not experience his glory. In fact, you will suffer if you're not willing to suffer for well-doing. You'll suffer for evil-doing. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. Listen to this scripture. 1 Peter is still talking about suffering. 1 Peter 3:14 says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now listen, here's the principle again that Jesus set forth when he says, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? Peter understands it now very clearly as he's writing this letter, and he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, the apostle Peter is speaking to me and to you, and he says to us as children of God, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, rather than there are fiery judgments that come from God when we walk in disobedience, but there are fiery trials that come when we do what's right. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. What is he telling us in 1 Peter 4:13? He's saying, if you're willing to suffer for Christ's sake, you will experience his glory. Does everybody see that in 1 Peter 4:13? If you suffer, you will experience his glory. He says in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their behalf he is, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Chapter 5, verse 10. He concludes his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, when is it you're going to experience his glory? After that ye have suffered, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, I want to go back to, in closing, I want to go back to the book of Hebrews just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're trying to look at the fact that Christ set forth a principle that if you're going to experience the glory of God, you have to first be willing to suffer. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about quite a number of people who suffered and suffered greatly. It says, by faith. And then it talks about all these people. For example, by faith, Noah. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. What did Noah do? Just tell me, what did Noah do? He built a what? He built an ark. Now, was building the ark any sufferings that's going to come from building an ark? Yes, sir. There were major sufferings that came from him building that ark. That was their life for 100 years, was to build that ark. That was their life. Are you willing to spend a fourth or a fifth of your life on one project? And that wasn't the only thing Noah ever did to honor and glorify God. But he spent 100 years of his life completely dedicated to building that ark. He and his three sons, they built that ark. And while they were building that ark, they suffered persecution. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? Ought not Noah to have suffered so that he could enter into his glory? What was the glory he entered into? Okay, all of you are correct. He entered into the glory of the ark. He entered into, I want you to think about how God began to lift that ark up when the flood began to rise. And God lifted up that ark. And those people, the Bible says, they were saved by water. God lifted them up above the world. Oh, what a glorious thing when God lifted up Noah and his family. The glory that Noah and his family experienced, because they had gone through over 100 years of suffering. And I say over 100 years because it was just 100 years of building the ark I'm talking about. But they had done a lot of suffering before that. You and I, brethren, we need to understand, if we're going to have the glory of Christ, the fellowship of Christ, if we're going to be close to Christ, we have to be willing to suffer. Abraham, God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up on that mountain. Oh, brethren, I love my son. If God had told me to give my life, if God had told me to stand up and preach like Stephen did in Acts chapter 7, I think I could do that. I think I could. I might not could. But I think I could stand like Peter did in Acts 7. I could preach and say, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye. I think I could do that. But listen, when God told Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, take him up there and offer him as a sacrifice. Oh, what faith it took for Abraham to obey God. And he went up there fully intending to offer his son as a sacrifice. He suffered. He suffered. And he entered into the glory. When God stopped him, and that ram was caught in the thicket, and he was able to offer that ram instead of his son. Oh, what glory he experienced in offering that ram. And you think of Moses, how he suffered. Did Moses suffer? Here he was, Pharaoh's daughter, living in Pharaoh's house, all the riches of the world, the pleasures so great that no human being can comprehend how great they were. And then God called Moses, leave all that, leave it all, and follow me. And Moses suffered. The scripture says that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do you know why he chose to do that? Because he knew not only it was honoring and glorifying to God, not only was he obeying God, but he also knew there's glory on the other side of suffering. Look at Hebrews 12. I'll close with this one verse of scripture. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. One verse, I'm going to combine them both together into one verse. Like that. Hebrews 12, listen to verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Have you ever seen anybody that suffered for Christ's sake and entered into his glory? Let me say something to all you parents, and I'm not condemning anybody that has your kids in public school, but I am saying this to those parents that are trying to raise their children in the nurtured admonition of the Lord and will not sacrifice them to the public school system, to those parents who are giving your children a good education, a good biblical education, to those parents who refuse to let your children hear and believe and be taught things that are contrary to the Word of God, you're a little nutty. You understand what I just said? You understand why I just said it? Because that's what the world thinks about you. That's what the world thinks about you. You're a little nutty. In fact, you're a lot nutty as far as the world is concerned. That's part of the suffering you have to experience. And again, I'm not condemning anybody that has your kids in school. I am telling you this. If you let your children believe and swallow false doctrine, if you let your children adopt the ways of the world, if you let your children, whether you homeschool, Christian school, or private school, if you let your children live like the world and be conformed to the world, you're going to be held accountable for that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Are we compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses? I think that we are. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, listen carefully now, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, now where was the joy? It was on the other side of what? On the other side of suffering, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what Jesus did. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured all those sufferings. What a marvelous thing it is when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was praying, and he said, "Father, give me back the glory that I had with you before I came down into this sin-cursed earth." And the Father gave him that glory. And God gave him a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He suffered, he bled, he died, and he entered into his glory. May God help us to be willing to die for Christ's sake, is my prayer.